It's 4:06. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, President Obama is working to expand paid sick leave for American workers. We'll talk to an expert on employment law about how that could affect employees.
First, Assembly Speaker Robin Voss has been in the news lately, laying out his priorities for the upcoming legislative session in Wisconsin. On the list, Voss is calling for closer scrutiny of UW faculty teaching loads.
Now, he says he supports research that ultimately helps Wisconsin's economy. He's got concerns, though, about the teaching loads of UW faculty and the kinds of research produced at the university. Voss has also been critical of the university tenure system.
Voss's concerns could have implications for Wisconsin's university system, one of the largest public higher education systems in the country.
Here to give us a professor's perspective is Tim Rogers. He's a professor in the psychology department at the UW-Madison, where he's the principal researcher at the Knowledge and Concepts Laboratory. Tim, thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much for inviting me.
Well, looking at the question of direct teaching loads, take a full-time professor. How much time do most tenured professors spend actually teaching?
It depends what you call teaching. If you only count coursework, I spend typically about 2 full days out of the week preparing and delivering lectures and doing other sort of duties related to coursework particularly. Of course, the teaching mission of faculty at the university extends pretty far beyond just conducting classes.
So what other things would be involved in the teaching department for a professor?
Well, one of the things that sets UW apart from just a straightforward teaching university is, of course, that a lot of teaching occurs in a research context. The classes that we teach, I really view as providing a solid foundation of knowledge for our students. But the things that really provide great job opportunities for the graduates of UW-Madison and the rest of the UW system is the kind of knowledge that you get by applying those foundations to solving real-world problems. And the places where students actually learn to do those applications is in conducting real research in laboratories.
And so how much does that happen? How much of your week or one's week, and I'm sure it varies from professor to professor and school to school, but how much of a week is spent doing that kind of activity?
The kinds of load that we have during a given week is about equally split between teaching activities, research activities, and service activities. There's quite a lot of pragmatic sort of nuts and bolts aspects of science that are really done by faculty editing journals, reviewing papers, sitting on grant panels, writing grants, and so on and so forth. So it's about a 3x3x3 split.
Now, looking at what a professor does from the outside, we heard some of what Representative Voss has been looking for. He's not alone. There's a lot of expectation that the main thing a professor does is educate the students in the classroom. I mean, is there something fair to that? Is that maybe should that be a bigger part of the mission for a lot of faculty?
Well, I think it's short-sighted in both an economic standpoint and also from a teaching standpoint. So from an economic point of view, I think what some people fail to appreciate sometimes is that we're able to really attract the best and brightest minds from across the United States and also across the world to come and live and work here because the UW system strikes a real balance between teaching and the research mission. People who are good at advancing the state of science, good at generating new knowledge, come here to work partly because they know that the university is supporting the research mission. And when they come here, they don't do that research in a vacuum. Their research is generally supported by external grants from the federal government and also from private industry. And those federal grants both support the bottom line of the university itself, and they also create jobs here in Wisconsin. So, for instance, if I get a grant from NIH, a little north of 50% of it goes straight back to the university. Of the remaining 47%, by far the biggest line item in my grants is providing support for graduate students. We pay their salary, their benefits, and their tuition, another chunk that goes back to the university, and also hiring research staff at the university and postdoctoral research associates. So if you give the message that the UW system isn't really that interested in pursuing research, the people who bring in that grant money, which far outweighs the cost of their own salary and benefits in many cases, will look to move elsewhere, and they'll take that grant money and those jobs with them.
And presumably part of the workload is applying for those grants and doing the required updates for the grant makers and that sort of thing.
Absolutely. It's a huge amount of work to generate a grant. These are documents that are typically 50 to 60 pages long and spell out often programs of research that extend for 4 or 5 years into the future.
So another critique we've heard from the legislature, Representative Voss in particular, is that the research going on at the UW system doesn't always benefit the state economically. It doesn't have a direct line to economic development in the state. How would you answer that?
Yeah, I actually find that sort of puzzling coming from, a state party that's so invested in small government. The message seems to be that the people who are best suited to determining what research ought to be done is the state government. And that seems to be sort of against the general message that the government should be micromanaging the kinds of research that we do. If you're a scientist, there's really three career paths that you can take. You can work for industry, where the research that you do will be mainly determined by the bottom line, what's going to make money in the short term. You can work for the government, where the research that you will do is going to be shaped by the ideology and the politics of the party in power. And there's one place where you can go where the only thing that's really shaping the research is what knowledge, in the view of scientists who have expertise in the domain, we really need to sort of advance the state of knowledge, and that's in the university setting. The people who do research in a university setting are really just doing it for the scientific value. And so I think it would be a very short-sighted move to have government interference in shaping which way that research should go.
Well, here's a huge question. There's been a lot of ink and talking spilled on it, but maybe you could sum it up. What is the value of that kind of research? Research set where the agenda is set by scientists fulfilling curiosity, not necessarily looking for a direct benefit, a direct practical outcome.
Yeah, well, if you look back over the last 50 years of technological development in this country, I think that you'll see that many of the key innovations that have really driven the American economy forward and the knowledge economy forward was developed in a sort of public research context. You think about things like the internet, which was really developed by scientists who wanted to have better ways of communicating the results with one another. Any research that's done at a public university gets published in a journal that's really accessible to anybody in the country. Research that's done in a private context, of course, becomes proprietary and is often sort of held in a black box that nobody else can see. So while it's sometimes not immediately clear what the benefit of any given research program is, the people who are actually generating this new knowledge make it publicly available, where it then can be put into use by industry and the public sector.
Now, people in the public might look at the university and say, yes, we're glad the system is there. We like the work it does. We're happy to send our kids there. But we're spending our tax money there. We're spending our tuition money to send our kids there. We just want to make sure that it's being well used, that our investment is being well served. Do we have that kind of accountability in place where people can rest easy?
Oh, absolutely. So one of the many duties that you have as a faculty member is reviewing and mentoring the faculty who are coming up through the tenure process, which at UW-Madison is a very rigorous tenure process. It's a 7-year process. You get reviewed in our department every year. And the teaching and research mission are sort of weighted equally in these tenure decision processes. So there's already a lot of internal oversight over those kinds of things. I should also add that There's not really a cost in many cases to the research that's being done at the university. If I bring in a grant that supports many times my salary in both indirect costs back to the university and in employment, then the taxpayers aren't losing anything by hiring me here. I'm bringing the money into the university. But if I can't do the research that is really my part of my job statement, I guess, you know, I would be inclined to go somewhere else where I can do that research. All those grant dollars go along with me.
Briefly, as we wrap up, how do you see the university system contributing to the overall quality of life, measured economically or not, here in the state?
Well, that is another really critically important part, I think. Everybody who lives in Madison, at least, has met someone who came here as a student to get a great education, realized what a wonderful state and city it is, and ended up deciding they wanted to have a career here. Innovators who want to start new businesses and want to do it in a climate where there's the intellectual capital that they can exploit to have a good sort of workforce can do it here in Madison because there's so much cutting-edge research and because we attract the best and brightest faculty and also students from across the country. I think all of those things go to improving the quality of life in the state and also to developing its economy.
Tim, thanks a lot for joining us.
My pleasure.
That's Tim Rogers. He's a psychology professor at UW-Madison, principal researcher at the Knowledge and Concepts Laboratory.